is Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here. You probably don't know who I am if you come to church about 10 or 15 minutes late. I usually do the welcome, the time that Kent did at the beginning. And so if I am, welcome. Thank you for being here. My name is Kyle again. And usually this is not my role here at the church, but Ryan's out today and I get the privilege of to speak the word. And so it's either for your privilege or your torture. I'm not sure. But I do want to thank you for being here and worshiping with us, being a part of our service today. I do see some new faces that I haven't met, and so if I haven't met you, I would love the opportunity to meet you after the service. I'll be down front. A few of our elders will be down front as well. And we do that each week just to not only get to know you, we want to know who you are and know names and faces, but also we want to pray with you. I know we say that in the welcome a lot. We say that throughout the service. But I want you to know that that's what we're here to do. Our elders are here to shepherd you, to care for you, to comfort you, and to pray for you. And so take advantage of that. We'll be down front. We'd love nothing more than to just pray with you today. We are now in our second week of Advent as we prepare for Christ's birth. We prepare for his arrival, the rescue plan that God laid out from the beginning, put into flesh and bones through Jesus. And we want to prepare our hearts for this season, which is why each year we break from our normal habit of walking verse by verse through different books of the Bible to specifically focus on Advent and preparing our hearts for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. If you are new with us, our normal routine is to walk exegetically through the Bible and different books, and we're currently in the book of Joshua, but like I said, we broke in December. We'll be back into Joshua in January and again walk verse by verse through the Word. And I want to take a moment to just remind you, if you're doing your devotions with us through these Advent devotionals, that's awesome. But there's two devotionals we have. This first one, Good News of Great Joy by John Piper. It's 25 days of reading. It started on December 1st. It's really easy, 1 to 2 pages of reading. And if you follow us on social media, on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see that we're posting a prompt, a question, a reflection question, something to just get you thinking more about the devotional that day. We're posting that every day this December. And so I encourage you, pick one of these up. There's a few left, and you can walk through this book with us this Advent season together. And then what I've been told is I've got this one and one other of this Wonders of His Love, this family devotional. So I'm really glad people are taking advantage of it. If we don't have any left, we can get you more, or you can just go online and get it. But this is a family devotional tool that walks through the Advent as well. This one's really individually for you to walk through, and this one is for a family to walk through together. And the cool thing about this, by Champ Thornton here, Wonders of His Love, is each week has 5 devotionals in it. And if your family's anything like mine, like you have a couple of crazy days in your week. And so, man, they even knew they're not going to be able to do it every day. So you got 5 days to get into 7 days. Man, what a great thing. So it's 5 days each week leading up to Christmas. And the cool thing is it's age appropriate for families of all ages. And so my family, I've got a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and we're walking through this each and every day. And the questions are pointed to that fact that an elementary school kid can read it and can answer the questions. We even ask the questions to our 2-year-old. Now, I recognize the only answer she knows is Jesus, which is the right answer 90% of the time, right? But she's seen the habit of devotion. She's seen the habit built of the family gathering together, praying together, reading scripture together, and that's huge. And so parents, as you're trying to develop your children and show them the way of the Lord, man, I can't tell you what a great tool this would be. And so obviously other people have seen it. That's why we only have 2 left, and so I'll give this one to the highest bidder at the end of the service. But no, you can find this one online if you need it too, and we'd love to help you get that. But I hope that you'll take advantage of these devotions, and if anything, get your family or get yourself into the habit of having that daily routine with the Lord. He wants to meet with you. He wants to have that time with you, and so this is a great tool to help you get there. This week for Advent, we get to focus on the fact that God did prepare a way for his people to know him. We lit the second candle of preparation, and God prepared a way for us, for his people to know him. And so often we focus on how we can make our way to God. That's kind of a focus that we have. How can we get closer to God? How can we do more to get closer to God? And in reality, what we really need to remember is that God came to us. God came to us as Jesus to dwell with us so that we could then be with God forever. God prepared the way, and he did that through his son, Jesus. And so this morning, I've got three short points. If you know anything about me, I've been known to have a short sermon time, which for some reason nobody complains about that. But I've got three points that I want us to look through this morning. And so if you've got notes, if you've got that piece of paper we handed you with the announcements on one side, it's got notes on the back, you can take notes. Or if you take them in your Bible, that's cool, or on your phone. But just three points I want us to look at this morning. And the first one of that is that Jesus came to dwell with us. Jesus came to dwell with us. And this, from the beginning, was God's plan. The story of a Messiah and a Redeemer for our sins, all the way back to the fall in Genesis, when Adam and Eve broke that perfect communion with God because of the sin of eating of the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. They broke that perfect communion with God. And forever from that point forward, we would be born into sin. We would be sinners from birth, needing a rescuer, needing redemption to have that relationship with God again. And so from the beginning, even then, it was always his plan to send a Messiah, to send this Redeemer, to send this perfect sacrifice so that we could again have communion with God, and that was made perfect in the person of Jesus. And in Philippians chapter 2, we see Paul explain this to the church in Philippi, and he says, starting in verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And a lot of times we focus on Easter, we focus on Good Friday, we focus on that weekend and the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf on the cross and the glorious resurrection that allows us to be in relationship with the Lord, which obviously is important. It transcends time. It made the timeline change in that moment. And it's important. But we can't get to Easter, we can't get to that weekend without first remembering Christmas and remembering Jesus' arrival in human form. And his arrival as a baby of all ways. He could have come in any way he wanted to. He could have come as a king. He could have come as a general. He could have come as a powerful ruler in a majestic entrance into the world. But no, just like Paul said in Philippians, he came humbly. He lived his life in humility as a baby. And he also came living a life just like us in human form. Perfected, of course, a perfect life, a life that was righteous, that had no blemish, to be that perfect sacrifice. But he was also human. And so he had feelings, he had pain, he had emotions, all like we do. And I think he does that so that he could be even more in tune with our struggles. He could be even more in tune with our pain, with our stress, with our anxieties, with our emotion. There's a reason when you accept Jesus, we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Because Jesus desires to be personal with us. He was human. He understood the emotions. He understands what you're going through even in this moment. He gets it. Our personal Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. Says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in the beginning of that chapter, it talks about how the beginning was the Word being God, and the Word was with God. And God then brings himself, takes himself down onto our earth, comes to us in human form, becomes flesh, dwelt among us, to be with us, to understand our feelings, to understand our pain, to show us his righteousness in human form. So Jesus came to dwell with us. Point number two, Jesus came to prepare the way. Jesus came to prepare the way. He came in the form of a servant to prepare the way to God, to create our way back to the Father. And for the rest of the time together, we'll be in John chapter 14. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John chapter 14. We'll be in verses 1 through 11 for the remainder of our time together. We'll kind of bounce around throughout those verses. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And Thomas is there next to him. And he asks him this question in verse 5. He says, Thomas said to him, Lord, do we not know where you are going? How can we know the way? And in verse 6, one that you might know quite well, if you looked at your Bible, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, I don't know how many Star Wars junkies we have in here. Disney Plus subscribers. Star Wars, anybody? Come on. You can raise your hand high. That's something to be proud of. Okay? If you're not, I am a Star Wars fan. I wouldn't say I'm a junkie, but I am a Star Wars fan, a Disney Plus subscriber. But throughout this week, as I was looking at this passage, as I was looking at this point of Jesus came to preparing the way, I just kept being led back to one of the best shows I've watched over the last year, maybe over the last 2 years, maybe even the best show on the platform of Disney Plus. Star Wars people, you know what I'm talking about. The Mandalorian. Or for real fans, The Mando. There are people, the protectors, and they have these cool, awesome armor that can't be penetrated. He's got this good helmet, and they have a creed that they live by. And throughout the show, each and every show you see, they say to each other, this is the way. And I was really hoping that I could have the budget to get one of those sweet suits and the helmet and all this other stuff and come up here and be like, this is the way to God. But didn't happen. But the Mandalorian, and by the way, he takes care in that show of the child, the baby Yoda, if you've seen him, okay? He takes care of the child. So I'm like, this is the way. You have the child. There's no better Advent sermon illustration. There is. There's not one. You get the child, you get the Mando. It's a great thing, clearly made that way. And oftentimes we ask you to go read a book, and I want you to read these devotionals. If you haven't seen The Mandalorian, you need to. You just need to see it. It will just make your heart happy. You'll enjoy it. Let that be one of the things you take away today. But the disciples, in this moment, Thomas is saying to him, they wanted to know how they could be with the Father. They wanted to know, how do we get to God? And Jesus, I think, just blows their mind in verse 6 when he says to them, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's like, if you've known me, then you've known the Father. He isn't, church, clearly simply the path to God. Jesus isn't simply a path to life. He is life. He is God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Jesus explaining, I am the I am. And yet, in verse 8, look at Philip here. In the South, we would say, bless his little heart. He still doesn't get it. And so even Thomas is explained to it. Lord says, I am, I am, I am. Philip, look here in verse 8. He says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Like, hey, just show us God, and that'll be enough for us to believe. And Jesus said to him in verse 9, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Like, hey, you've followed me all these days. You've been with me. You've followed all around. You've seen what I've done, and you still don't get it? Like, he just kind of wants to, you know, hit him right up on the side of the head. You don't know me, Philip? He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? In verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. He's saying, have you not seen what I've done? Have you not listened to my testimony? Have I not already told you that the Father dwells within me? I am the Father, He is in me. It's like this explanation of the Trinity that we're starting to understand when the Holy Spirit gets dropped in there after Christ's ascension. He's saying, I am the Father. The Father is in me. I don't even just speak on my own authority, but I speak on the authority of God. He tells Philip this. And I think he's saying, even at the end, if not even believing the words that I've said, Philip, look at the things that I've done. Look at the miracles that you've experienced. Look at the healing. Look at the transformation. The work of the Lord displayed through the person, Jesus Christ. And so it should be with us, fellow believers. The work of the Lord displayed through us. Yes, our testimonies are important. We are called to go out and make disciples of all nations, telling them our story, telling them the transformation in our lives. But just as important is how we live out our faith. What is the fruit that people see? Do people see you, brother, sister, fellow Christian? Do people know that you're a Christ follower by the way you live? By the way you engage with your neighbors, by the way that you interact with your coworkers, by the way you interact with the community, with the people you're at school? Do people's teenagers, do kids know at school that you're a follower of Jesus? They should. And so Jesus is showing that as an example to Philip. He's like, have I not shown you? I am God. And with the Holy Spirit, we have God living within us to display Christ's love through us, through our lives. You have relationship with the Father, with God, because of your faith and relationship with Jesus, and only that. There's nothing we can do to earn that relationship. There's nothing that we can do to earn favor with God, to earn our way back into God. It's just simply placing our faith in Jesus. And we place our faith in Jesus. He transforms us. He makes us clean before God. And we are then enlightened with the Spirit because we want to go out and live for Him in all that we do. This is the way, and it is Jesus and only Jesus. So Jesus came to dwell with us, and then Jesus came to prepare the way. And our final point this morning, Jesus prepares our eternal home. Jesus prepares our eternal home. In the beginning of chapter 14, we're going to go back a couple of verses. Jesus starts this way by talking to his disciples in verse 1. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would have I told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And so Jesus is explaining to his disciples in this moment that he has gone to prepare eternity for them and for us. He gives them and us great confidence in not only that he has made a way to the Father, not only that he is the Father, that he is life, that he is truth, but that he has created paradise and a place for us to dwell in the house of the Lord in heaven with him forever and ever. Amen. See, this truth, these verses, this statement that Jesus makes right here, this is what gives me great joy. This is what gives us as believers great joy in the midst of such a broken world. It gives me peace when I walk into the funeral of a believer. It gives me comfort in the midst of terrible tragedies because it's a reminder that everything we have, all of this, folks, is temporary. Everything. Everything you've built up for yourself, everything that you own, all the things you have will be dust one day. The only thing that will remain is Jesus. And did you place your trust in him or not? Everything else is temporary. This building, this church, our relationship with Christ is what remains. And we have to remember that he's making a place for us, just as he told the disciples. He's gone before us. He's coming back again, and he will take us back to be with him for eternity in a new heaven and a new earth for good and for glory. Now, when I'm reading through this, I have to think back to the wise words of theologians. This is back for Christians in the 90s, okay? Back for you Christians who were in the 90s. You know the great theologians, Audio Adrenaline? They sang a great song called Big House, okay? And the song said, he's got a big, big house with lots and lots of rooms. He's got a big, big table with lots and lots of food. And he's got a big, big yard where we can play football. There it was. Yeah. Always. By the way, in football in heaven, it's always touchdowns, okay? Always. But I think that's a funny song that we used to sing as kids. And man, we'd blare that, you know, just, it was awesome. But it's such a great reminder to us that that is where we have our hope. That is where our mind can be, is to the fact that we will be living with God the Father, with God the Son, Jesus, for eternity in a house where the fact is there's no more pain, there's no more sin, there's no more suffering. Another great reminder, another great theologian, one of my wife's favorite theologians, actually, is Carrie Underwood. She sings a song called Temporary Home, and I won't sing it or talk through it too much because it makes me cry every time I listen to it, but it's a great reminder. It's all these different scenarios and these different difficult situations people are walking through, with losing loved ones or losing jobs or figuring things out, and the fact is they're just worn out, they're beat down, and she just keeps reminding in each chorus, this is our temporary home. This isn't where we belong. I know where I'm going. I'm just passing through this spot because I know where my eternity is. I know where my destination is set. And for believers in this room, that's what gives us the hope that we gets us through each and every day when we are in those situations where we can't get up, when we can't go one more day, when we're striving and striving and it just hurts. The fact is, Jesus prepares a place for us in glory. And I don't know about you, but I've been thinking a lot more about this lately. Our church has had a difficult couple of months for families in our church of losing loved ones. I've been going to a lot of funerals, been meeting with a lot of people, and crying a lot of tears because of these loss that we've experienced. And as I was looking at this verse, looking at this passage, what better way to encourage us collectively, what better way to encourage these families that have walked through these tragedies and this loss, than to think of the place that Christ is preparing for us to once again be together with our loved ones in glory, with no pain, no suffering, no sickness, no death, no more sin. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that next Sunday at 5 p.m., we will have our Christmas Hope service. This is a service we've started to do each and every year during the holidays. It's a great opportunity for those of you that have experienced loss this year, or those that you know, or if the fact that the holidays bring up some difficult feelings, some sorrow, this service is for you. We gather at 5 p.m., Sunday night the 12th, and we're simply going to pray for one another. We're going to remember our loved ones. We're going to enjoy the fellowship together and remember those that we've lost. And for those that maybe haven't lost anybody, or you're not experiencing that tragedy this year, and come and be a part of that service to comfort those family members around us that have. And so I encourage you, I plead with you, come to that service on the 12th next Sunday night at 5 p.m. And let's comfort one another. We're a family here. That's what this church is. That's what we've built here. And we need to comfort one another when we're sorrowful, when we're sad. So join us next Sunday for that Christmas Hope service, where we will remember those that we've lost, but even more so, we'll remember the fact that we have our hope in Jesus and we will see them again one day. So Jesus came to dwell with us so that he could prepare the way to the Father, so that he could become the way to the Father and prepare our eternal home where we will be with God forever, singing with the angels in all creation, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So, as I close and as the band comes up to lead us in a song of response this morning, the only questions I have left for you in this room is, have you placed your faith in Jesus this morning, friend? Do you believe that he is the way and the only way to the Father? Do you believe and trust that He has prepared a place for you, for me, to live eternally with Him forever? If you cannot confidently answer yes to all those questions, then I plead with you. I plead with you on behalf of Christ this morning. I plead with you on behalf of all believers in this room. Come to Jesus today. Let today be the day of salvation. Let Christmas 2021 be the time where you said yes to Jesus and your eternity was transformed. Your forever was changed because you gave your life over to our Savior, Jesus Christ. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to life, life to the full, life eternal. More importantly, life with the Father for eternity. And so as I pray, as we pray, as we sing through this next song of O Come Emmanuel with the idea of God being with us, you're like, man, I don't get it. I don't understand. How can you have hope in the midst of tragedy? How can you look towards the future when you can't even understand what's going on in the present? Man, I want to talk to you. Our elders want to talk to you. The person you're sitting next to, if they're a believer, they want to talk to you. Because we want to tell you about the hope that we have that's only in Jesus and that can only come from Him. So let's bow our heads, let's pray. And then if you make a decision or if you need to talk to somebody about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we'll be up front at the end and we'd love to talk to you about that. Father, You're a good, good God. A good God that didn't promise us that this life here on earth would be easy, that it wouldn't be without heartache, that it wouldn't be without pain. And so You knew that from beginning, from before we were even born, before we were even thought of, thousands of years ago, You knew that. And so that's why You would send Your Son Jesus to be a human, to be born a baby, to live a perfect life and be the ultimate sacrifice for us, but that He would feel the emotion, that He would feel those pains, that He would have the feeling so that He could be personal to us. You knew what we would need, and You send us exactly what we needed in the person Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our way to the Father. You are good. You are life. You are truth. Thank You for displaying that through Your Son, Jesus. I pray during this Christmas season, God, it's so easy sometimes to get caught up in the celebration and the traditions and just the pomp and circumstance of all the parties and the gifts and the places to go and the travel plans. God, I pray that we would just take a moment and remember that it's not about all that stuff. It's about You. God, draw us near to Yourself even in this moment. And for those that are in the room that haven't ever said yes to You, that haven't felt that personal relationship with Jesus, God, would You just draw their hearts to You this morning? Would today be the day of salvation for them? Would they say yes to You? And may You use us this week to bring You glory, honor, and praise. It's in Your holy and precious name that we pray.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word at City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 2300 Vineyard Hill Lane, and we hope to see you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God and the good of the city. God.